KUSB co-sponsors UCSC's Arts and Lectures presentation of the Beaux-Arts Trio. One of chamber music's most powerful collaborations, the Beaux-Arts Trio has been recognized over the last 40 years as having set the standard for performance of piano trio literature. Performance of the Beaux-Arts Trio is Saturday, April 9th, at 8 p.m. at the UCSC Music Center Recital Hall in Santa Cruz. For more information, call 459-2159.
It's Friday, April 8th, 2005, 10:06 a.m. on the Central Coast of California. It's time now for Geek Speak. Hello and welcome to Geek Speak. My name is Lyle Troxell. We work every week to bridge the gaps between geeks and the rest of humanity. Today on Geek Speak, after Spot of Geek News, we're speaking about the new Photoshop CS2 released on Monday with product management director Kevin Connor from Adobe. During the second half of the show, we'll welcome you to join the conversations with this expert of Adobe Photoshop. The phone numbers are 476-2800 or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. Or you can go to geekspeak.org and click on Contact Us. I'll give out that contact information again when I invite your participation in about a half an hour. Please keep in mind the views expressed during Geek Speak are not necessarily those of KUSP. Now, I want to ensure that you understand that today, during Geek Speak, we are doing a pledge drive. We're going to keep the content rolling, but we're going to be making comments, make sure that you know you can call in. And we have a wonderful pledge challenge of $500 for the hour of Geek Speak, which means we need you to be active and participate right now so we can make sure we get this wonderful matched pledge by Barbara Beck and Tim Bratton for the hour of Geek Speak. Counting down. The phone numbers are 476-5900 or 1-800-655-5877. And this is Geek Speak. My name is Lyle Troxell. In the air with me are geeks Drew Meyer, storage specialist at AdaptTech, and Sean Cleveland, senior PR marketing manager from NetCell. Drew and Sean, thank you for being here.
Good morning.
Good morning, Lyle. Thank you.
Before we get our discussion going with Photoshop, and before we do Geek News, let's talk a little bit about why we're going to be breaking into show content a little bit today.
Well, of course, everyone knows we're in the middle of a pledge drive, and that's because the station needs money to stay alive. Just like when you, surf the internet. Any geeks listening out there knows that when you're on dial-up, it's not so great. When you're on broadband and you've got some, fast speed, you can get a lot of information quickly. Think if you didn't have radio, you'd have to get it from word of mouth, or you'd have to sit in front of your television. And who wants to do that? You can't do that when you're driving in the car. And all we ask is that there are 4,000 members out there contributing more than 50% of our income. If you're listening, please, we really need your help this pledge drive. Do what you can. Give us a call and become a member. For those of you who are not members, please consider it. Very important.
That's right, Sean. You brought up a good point. I listen to KUSP in the car, at work, at home sometimes, but in different rooms. I can even download streams and play them on my MP3 player. And that's the cool thing about radio for me is that it's accessible. I don't have to be sitting there on the couch in front of the TV. I can sit and work in the garage or whatever I want. And so having valuable content is really what matters to me. And because I listen to KUSP, it enriches my life, I guess you could say. I don't know. Maybe this show doesn't enrich everyone's lives, but I get a kick out of doing it.
So. Please, geeks, you people out there listening, call us now. We really need your help.
The subscription of the daily paper costs, about $15 a month. Cable, satellite, television service costs you about $30 to $80 a month. And then, of course, the internet connection costs you $20 to $50 a month, depending on what you got. We can't keep you from listening free, but we hope KUSP is worth as much to you as the other media that you have that you pay for. So you decide what public radio is worth to you. If it's worth $10 a month, we'll send you this really cool This American Life DVD, Go Public, or a Go Public NPR tote bag. And for a 2-to-1 discount to member good, we're giving you a lot of thank yous. But because you're listening, call in. The phone number is 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. We do have $500 to go on the challenge.
Oh, yeah, please, meet that challenge.
From Barbara Beck and Tim Bratton, we need to match that during this hour. 476-5900 or 1-800-655-5877.
And we've got some thank yous, people who have pledged already. Pamela from Carmel Valley wants to thank Nell Newman. She already pledged, but is responding to Newman's own challenge. Wow, that's cool.
Nice, yeah.
Betty from Aptos listens a lot on our way to school. A lot of people do that.
There you go.
That's just
perfect
the
example.
Best. That's what we're looking for. Roger from Soquel. Curtis from Carmel. He likes everything, especially Click and Collect, the Tappet Brothers, Car Talk. Sandra from Scotts Valley, Car Talk. And Barbara from Santa Cruz likes Democracy Now! It's her lifeline. Please, donate and say you love Geek Speak. Do us a favor.
Maybe we need cool names like Click and Clack.
Make people in the next hour, you know, announce how much people like Geek Speak. That would be really cool.
476-5900 or 1-800-655-5877. Okay, let's jump into some geek news, talk about what's been going on. It's interesting. Drew, I'm going to start with you.
Well, there's this really kind of storage-related thing, but really cool. Physicists write a microscopic paragraph. Now, it's not really earth-shattering, but it's pretty interesting. This act of micro-storage was done just to break the ice at a party to celebrate the 400th anniversary of the publication of Don Quixote.
So was it a paragraph from Don Quixote?
You
got to read the first sentence. I love Don Quixote's intro.
In a certain village in La Mancha, which I do not wish to name, there lived not long ago a gentleman, one of those who have always a lance in the rack, an ancient shield, a lean hack, and a greyhound for coursing. And that was written, the first 10 lines was written on a, using water vapor on a tiny surface of a chip. It's too small to see without an electron microscope.
Wow.
Pretty amazing.
We're talking about atom widths kind of thing.
The ability to be able to do this, I think, is the exciting part.
And use literature as the writing source is wonderful.
Right.
Thank you very much for that, Drew.
And those are Spanish physicists?
Yeah, those are Spanish physicists. We also like, you know, how can you hear about Spaniards?
That's great.
In physics.
I've kind of got a morbid story. But it's cool. It's very geeky. So Yale University researchers have been studying lasers and how they can use them to remote control fruit flies. I know you heard about this.
Real fruit
yeah,
flies?
Yeah, so they're moving beyond electrodes to beams of light to stimulate neurons.
This is wrong.
No way.
This is actually really cool.
Soon it'll be radio waves.
So far they've gotten fruit flies to jump, walk, flap their wings, and fly, even when they're headless.
What?
Oh, no. That's horrible.
But, Jero Meisenbach, associate professor of cell biology at Yale, says ultimately this could be important research in understanding human psychiatric disorders what they're learning is the cells associated with psychiatric disorders, overeating, and aggressiveness. And this information would help them to, you know, learn where those cells are located in humans.
What's the movie where the guys flash your eyes and you forget everything? It's just we're just
right
on the corner from that,
like that.
Men in Black.
But making a fly and like where you want it to go without a head is just horrifying to me and very interesting. I wish we could.
I picture like teenage, you know, young students, you know, geniuses with nothing more. You know, this is like fun to them.
Right, of course. Thank you, Sean, for that, Drew.
Oh, man. Well, this is kind of along the same morbid lines, but it's a little more beneficial to society. Looks like scientists at the University of Manchester in England are developing a technique where inkjet nozzles, like in a printer, can spray live human cells onto a patient. So this is a way to speed up the healing process and seed replacement tissues onto
areas. Skin graft areas.
Yeah, or bones or whatever that need to be started out, and then they can grow to their regular size and shape.
So are you talking about like a paint can, like a spray can you'd use for a car? You just like fix the wound?
That's like Fifth Element, remember?
Yeah, exactly.
She was rebuilt, you know, from just a piece of
nozzles. Yeah.
So they're basically
tissue.
Putting cells through a paint dispensing system. Well, inkjet printer, basically.
Well, I think that's a good model for how it works. I mean, it's not like you're going to put your hand in a printer and have a new finger, right? But the concept of
wouldn't
spraying...
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah. Let's have them do that instead.
Because all the information's there in your genes, you know? Why can't they just do that? Yeah.
They're refining the concepts of taking a tiny nozzle and delivering cells within droplets of fluid at about a foot per second, and they can accelerate to about 1,000 G-forces, so they come flying out in a little cloud and stick where they land.
Very
basically
cool.
What your inkjet
wow.
printer does.
You know, there's another desktop printer that's been announced. 3D Systems announced a 3D desktop printer.
So I can get not a flat finger, but a real finger.
So not only you're not printing on paper anymore, you're actually taking a 3D image and creating a real, you know, object.
Out of plastic?
Yeah, it's made out of a nylon polyamide composite using epoxy resin. And basically, from what I understand, you don't even need to do post-production after you print this thing. It's really nice. And it's going to be very affordable, only about $23,000.
Let's pick one up.
So you can print whatever. You see it on the screen, and it comes out in 3D.
So that's from 3D Print to 3D Systems and Envision LD, out of an Israeli-based company called Solid Dimension. Yeah, go to CNN.com, tech section, you'll see it.
We have $25,000 left in the entire pledge drive. It's been going on for a week, more than a week. Today's the last day. We have $25,000 to go. We have a challenge right now for GeekSpeak. Barbara Beck and Tim Bratton are challenging you to call in now. Up to $500, they'll double your money. It's a great time to call in. Of course, we'll lose that in 45 minutes when
that
the
means
show ends.
If you pledge $100, they'll match it.
That's right, $100.
And the station will do better for it.
That's right.
So please, you know, call in. Don't. We'll lose that money if you don't do this. Call 476-5900 or 1-800-655-5877. Please make sure we get part of that money or all of it. That'd be great.
We're going to keep on going. We're currently, my producer is working on getting our expert on the show, Adobe Photoshop product manager Kevin Connor. But while we're waiting for that to occur, we'll just do one more news story.
So we've got Adobe here today.
We have Adobe on. You know, Adobe recognizes, one of the major companies recognizes that the voice that KOSP produces is important for them.
That's huge.
Of course, it's important for all our listeners.
And Creative Suite 2 was announced this week.
And I'll get into that in just a minute when we get him on the phone. But
we have more news?
More news story?
I got another news story. It's pretty
right.
cool. The BBC has announced that the European Space Agency has a goal of landing a lander, or putting a lander on Mars like we did a couple of years ago. The 500 million euro mobile laboratory to go sniff the air for signs of biology, sniff in quotes, right? It doesn't have a nose, but maybe we could print one.
Well, it kind of has a nose, but
yeah.
Go on.
And then it would have a drill, which would be a unique first-time experience. It would drill down under the surface and see what's going on under the exact surface of the planet.
They'll find the planet is actually one big living organism, and it screams.
And it yells, yeah, right. I don't know. Shouts from across space.
And I want to thank some more people. Fiona from Santa Cruz likes it all. She pledged. Access Bank Mortgage out of Campbell supports Democracy Now. Wow. Chris from SoCal likes a lot of stuff. Fresh air, jazz in the evenings, roots rock reggae. Can't argue with that. Jane and Ron out of Santa Cruz. It's on every room in their house. Janet out of Santa Cruz loves Car Talk, Democracy Now, local stuff like Open Road and Geek Speak. Woohoo!
All
and her
right.
dog listens too. Deanna from Monterey loves Democracy Now! And the Open Road. Lynn from Atascadero likes Geek Speak. Yes, Lynn, you rock. And the gallery out of Monterey, this is a pledge for Swantonberry Farm, and they love Democracy Now!
Wonderful. Well, you know, so many people love Democracy Now!, and we do come right after, which means that right now you've been listening to Democracy Now! For a while, and maybe you didn't take the time to call in because you were listening so intently. Well, now is the time. You're not going to understand half what we're saying anyway, so you might as well take the time to call in. The phone numbers are 476-5900 or 1-800-655-5877. We are, right now, we have a great $500 pledge challenge by Barbara Beck and Tim Bratton. We have to match that within an hour. We have 40 minutes left to do so. We looks like it's changing. So far, $30 have been spent. So $470 left. Hey, you could do that with one pledge. The phone number is 476-5900 or 1-800-655-5877. We will have Adobe on momentarily.
And that pledge challenge is only during GeekSpeak. So at 11 o'clock, it's off the table.
Right.
So we got to get that money. Please call.
Let's do one more news story. Sean, you got another one, sir?
Yeah, I'm sure I do.
There's a lot going on in the world, a lot geeky stuff going on.
You know, I did get a pretty cool news story. Just to make people aware, I couldn't really read too much of it. It's very thick stuff. But anyway, a new fuel cell. It's a prototype solid oxide fuel cell, SOFC. It achieves 50% efficiency, converting liquid iso-octane into hydrogen. Basically, this is making solid oxide fuel cell battery hybrid feasible, possibly a next generation technology to replace our hybrid technology today. So, you know, we'll do some research on this. I think it's something maybe we should even have someone on the show to talk about fuel cells, because not only does it reach into the automotive space, but it's going to be in the tech space too. You're going to see notebooks in the future running off this type of thing.
Great.
Fuel cell batteries, you know, and these things will last days. Can you imagine?
I like the idea. All right. On Monday, Adobe released its newest version of the Creative Suite. Creative Suite includes a whole bunch of applications for being creative on the computer, featuring the flagship product, of course, of Adobe, Photoshop CS2. Kevin Connor is the director of product management for Adobe's professional digital imaging products. And Kevin joins us from a conference in Los Angeles via cell phone. Kevin, thank you for being on GeekSpeak.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure.
And welcome.
Thanks.
Kevin, there's a whole bunch of new features going on in the new product. I'm going to start out by asking what excites you the most about this new Photoshop CS. What's the
Tell us what it is.
Tell us what CS
is. What is Creative Suite?
What's the relevance to a regular person?
Yeah, so about 18 months ago, we came out with the Creative Suite, which was essentially, we used to put all of our creative applications together in collections, which was really just bundles of our software for people who needed to use more than one application, both, image editing and page layout and web design and illustration and so forth. And when we did the suite, our decision was, let's not just bundle these things together, let's really integrate them and really make it more of a seamless experience using the products together. So the Creative Suite 1 came out about 18 months ago, and we did a number of things to integrate things more tightly, such as doing version 2, which allowed you to have shared versions between applications and, of course, bring the files closer together and so forth. This time around, we did even more integration. We took the file browser, which was so useful within Photoshop, and we actually turned it into a standalone application called Adobe Bridge, which is shared among all the Creative Suite applications and actually is much more powerful than the file browser was and makes it very easy to find and manage your files and share things between the different applications.
So that's great.
One example.
Well, what about, and the bridge looks great. I use the file browser quite a bit, and the change from, like, versions, the earlier version of version 7 of Photoshop to the CS, the first CS version, the file browser really improved quite a bit. You can do a lot of meta information in the files, and navigating the files are great. It caches large thumbnails of it, so you can really see the large image quite quickly, navigate through your files. So I find it great.
Lyle, what do you mean by metadata?
Kevin, you answer that. What's metadata? Why is it important?
So metadata means quite literally data about data. So it's the simplest version of metadata is just, the date your file was saved, file name, things like that. But of course, when you take a digital picture, you get a bunch of additional metadata, such as what camera was used, whether a flash fired, what the exposure settings were, and so forth. All this stuff actually gets captured by this camera and saved with the file. And within Adobe Bridge, you can expect that information and compare the differences in the metadata between the files. You can even search on the metadata. So if you wanted to find all pictures that you took with a particular camera on a particular date, you can do that.
Now, Lyle takes that one step further. He takes, because he carries his camera, it's a very professional high-end camera, with him everywhere. And he's got thousands and thousands of pictures. And every picture he marks with the names of the people that are in the picture. So if he wants to pull up pictures of everything he's taken of me, he just types in Sean, and every picture just pops up.
Wow.
That is really cool.
Regardless of where it is or when it was put there.
That's using Photoshop Album, which is only available on the Windows environment. But let's go ahead and talk about a little bit, and I'm assuming that you haven't integrated that kind of feature yet into the bridge.
Well, so we take a different approach in Album, which is, of course, it's more of a consumer application, more entry level, and has a very simple approach to applying tags to things. But within Adobe Bridge and Photoshop, you can apply keywords. So you can create a keyword that's Sean and then attach that to certain images and then search for all of those.
Now, in the current file browser that's in Photoshop CS, you can't actually put that onto like a RAW file because you can't resave the RAW file. So what's the solution now with Bridge, with CS2?
Well, so what we do, the reason we don't attach it to the original RAW files is because those are proprietary file formats. And we don't want to change the information that's inside the file. But what we have done is, back in the fall, we introduced a new file format called DNG, which is short for digital negative. And we've designed this to be a universal RAW file format, so that files from any digital camera, all that information can be stored within the DNG file. So we are starting to work with camera manufacturers to adopt this as a native format. And we're starting to have some camera manufacturers, such as Leica and Hasselblad, are starting to come on board. But in addition, you can take any proprietary RAW file within Photoshop and convert it into the DNG format, which maintains all of the RAW data, but then you can actually store whatever custom metadata you want in the file and all your conversion settings and so forth. So it becomes a little bit more flexible, And because it's a documented format, it's publicly documented, it can be a little bit safer to use as a long-term archive.
I don't want to get into a lot of detail on this because RAW, of course, only be really being used by kind of the geeks and the photo professionals. But right now, how does your workflow work now there's DNG? Let's say you've got a traditional camera that doesn't have the Adobe negative, the open source negative RAW format, but instead has a proprietary one. You download that file from your camera onto your computer, and now you have that, and you open it up into Bridge, for example, Adobe CS Bridge. Can you then convert it easily and hide it so that the DNG is on top, or the original is kind of hidden but not deleted?
Yeah, you can actually. What you can do is, in the process of going through those files and processing them, we've actually got a much more powerful Camera Raw plugin in Photoshop CS2 for handling raw files, and it handles the proprietary RAW formats and the DNG files in exactly the same way. At least in terms of the user experience, it's the same. And the pictures you get are the same. But as you go through, you can actually select multiple RAW files at once, adjust their settings all at the same time, and then you can choose to batch process them and save them out as JPEGs, TIFFs, or DNGs. So if you want to turn those into DNG, you simply, you know, select the files you want to convert, it translates them into DNG and stores them, and it can actually take the proprietary version, that original version of the file, and store it inside the resulting DNG file. So if you later want to go back to that original, you can pull it out and use it.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. All right, let's get into stuff that maybe more people use. One of the features that I saw in Photoshop, I think it started in 4, maybe it was an earlier version, that just changed the way you modify images is the idea of layers. And it comes from traditional print where you put your text on one transparency and other stuff on other things, and you layer them up to create what you want. And the great thing about those is those items are separate from each other. So in the new layers, what you got in the feature set on Adobe Photoshop's, like, you know, what new features exist, you got a thing called multiple layer control, but it doesn't really go into what the details are. So what's up with that?
Well, so the issue with layers is one of the things that's powerful about them, but also makes them a little bit confusing when people start using the product, is that, you know, layers can have, you know, very soft edges on them. It can be almost invisible, that you barely see it, but it does affect the overall look of the composition.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, because they can be so hard to see sometimes, we had to create a mechanism for manipulating layers where you actually have to go to what we call the layers palette and select each thing individually to move it around. You can't interact with it as directly on the canvas. But what we found over time is, as we added more and more types of layers, more sophisticated types of design work that people can use, there were instances in which people wanted to work within Photoshop the way they would work within a page layout or illustration application, just selecting multiple things on the canvas and aligning them and grouping them and so forth. So the multiple layer select option within Photoshop now allows you to work that way. You can really work either way within Photoshop.
Okay, so you can basically, like, hold down the shift key while you're clicking on layer, or command key while you're clicking on layers, and then when you do the move or the transform, you're modifying content on multiple layers.
Yeah, it's just okay. Basically it just makes it more intuitive.
That's wonderful. I mean, I like that. And can you also, like, select the whole folder if you're using folders in layers?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
And so you can, it makes it much easier if you're doing design-oriented work where you have to align multiple things together. It just makes it much quicker to get that done.
Okay, the next one I want to talk about is the 32-bit high dynamic range ADR support. What is it?
What?
Wait a minute. I'm already lost here.
Yeah, let's let Kevin answer. Go for it.
So it was sort of a a big deal when we added 16-bit support to Photoshop. So it used to be 8-bit channel images. Yeah. Adding 16-bit channel images allowed you to get much finer detail. You get much finer distinctions in between colors, so you can get much richer results. We're moving now, this is sort of our initial step to go to that next stage, beyond 16-bit to 32-bit. Now, your editing options are a little bit more limited at this point. It's for a higher-end work, and on future versions, we'll add more and more features that are compatible with 32-bit. But in addition to moving to 32-bit, which gives you those greater distinctions between colors, we've also added the concept of high dynamic range images. And this comes into play if, let's say, if you've ever tried to take a picture in a room facing out the window, and you can either expose for what's outside the window or expose for what's in the room. You can't manage to get both. Either you get blown out highlights or, you know, tons of shadows. What high dynamic range allows you to do is capture that entire range.
How? I mean, the camera has to do the capturing, so how does the camera capture?
Well, so in the future, there will be cameras that will allow you to capture that way. In the interim, Photoshop CS2 has a feature called Merge to HDR that allows you to take multiple exposures that you took with your camera and combine them into a single HDR image.
Wonderful. I've always wondered kind of how to do that, because it's not uncommon to, you've got a still shot and there's a high dynamic range in it, you just take your camera, you put it on the tripod, you take two shots, one with a dark setting, one with a light setting, if you will. And then you take the two photos and you try to make the content be richer, if you will. And you normally have to, like, mask and do all the strange stuff to get it to work. So now what you're saying is it kind of automatically combines these to make a new, richer format.
Right. So it actually takes some of the same technology that's used in PhotoMerge to align the pictures automatically. And then it takes the color information from all the different exposures and combines them. And while you can actually use it with only two images, you'll get better results if you actually take more than two images. Take the stepped exposures, like five shots or something of the same scene. That'll give you the best results.
Very cool. All right. We're going to keep Kevin on the phone. He's a director of product management for Photoshop. And we're going to keep him on the phone talking about Photoshop while we take calls and such. This program is supported by a grant from Santa Cruz Electronics, offering extensive selection of computer and electronic parts, as well as support services. Santa Cruz Electronics is open daily at 2808 Soquel Avenue and online at santacruzelectronics.com. We do have a pledge right now. You're welcome to call in. We have $130 of it so far challenged, and we still have $360 left, or $370 left, from Barbara Beck and Tim Bratton. They did a wonderful $500 challenge, and you can call in now to match it so that we use that money for the station, doubling your money, 476-5900 or 1-800-655-5877.
And we'd like to thank Lynn Hunter down in Atascadero. She kindly called in with a $50 pledge, and that helped us get to where we are today. She says she loves Geek Speak, and she has too much fun listening to Geek Speak, especially the news. And we really love hearing comments like that. Maybe she's doing something where she's not sitting in front of the TV and being able to enjoy the radio show. And here's one from Melissa Walker in SoCal. She also says she's inspired by the geeks. She can't read enough about it. But I think the interesting point is she loves the news because it's not depressing. And I, you know, again, thank you very much, Melissa.
This week in This American Life. Okay, you're on a subway car. And onto the car comes a guy wearing no pants. A couple steps later, somebody else gets on, also no pants. This keeps going until the train has many, many people on it with no pants. Then, at some stop, someone comes barreling through the car, selling pants. Mind games, this week.
This American Life, Sunday at 10 a.m. on KUSP.
Of course, this is KUSP. You listen to Geek Speak. If you have questions or comments, the numbers are 476-2800 or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. You can call in with questions or comments about photography. We've got Kevin Connor from Adobe Photoshop, from Adobe, who is an expert in the Creative Suite line. The phone number is, again, 476-2800 or 1-800-655-5877. Of course, you can visit GeekSpeak by going to geekspeak.org and click on Contact Us.
Hey, Lyle?
Yeah?
If three people pledge at $10 a month, that will meet our challenge goal.
And we're halfway through the show, so only three people right now calling.
Yep.
We'll do it.
Yep.
And what do they get? They'll get the DVD from This American Life DVD, which is a wonderful collection, with a book of photos.
Yeah.
Movie. It's a DVD
really
movie.
Cool book from designed by Chris Ware,
right.
Who has just done amazing stuff. It's got a DVD. The book is about the size of a DVD. It's really thick. The DVD is in the back of it. And Drew, you've got it in your hand.
Do,
tell us what it's about.
Well, for those of you who don't recognize the name Chris Ware, it's the guy who did Jimmy Culligan, the greatest man on earth.
Yeah.
Greatest boy on earth, greatest kid on earth. I don't know. He's a really cool artist. And he's
from the Acme Novelty Library.
He's
won a lot of awards for those designs.
These
and this book is on Chicago, right?
Yeah, it's on famous architecture in Chicago and buildings that may have been destroyed or lost over the years.
It's a really beautiful book. And, of course, only $120 will get you that book. It's $10 a month to support the station. And right now, that money will get doubled by Barbara Beck and Tim Bratton.
And well, this story was by Ira Glass. Of course, everybody who listens to NPR knows Ira Glass.
That's right, on Sundays on KUSP. The phone number is to donate right now. Of course, if you can't do $10 a month and you can only do $10, we can do that via credit card. It's no problem. We'll take anything that you feel the station is worth to you. That's what you want to donate. We're not telling you how much. We're suggesting it. We're giving you thank yous for people that can donate $10 a month. But anything, we'll
take. So 36 of you donate $10. Same thing.
We'll do it too. 476-5900 or 1-800-655-5877. I would like to get back with Kevin Connor. I want to have one phone call while we're in this break, at least to start us off getting those monies rolling in. So why don't you make that phone call now to donate money to the station.
Or go to the web.
To keep people. Or go to geekkusp.org. To keep the station running, to keep amazing people. All right, we got that phone call. We're going to go back to Kevin. Kevin Connor is the, an expert on Adobe Photoshop, and we're talking about the new release, Adobe Photoshop CS2, that happened this week. If you'd like to call in with questions and comments about the show, about Photoshop, or the Creative Suite, please, 476-2800, toll free at 1-800-655-5877. You can ask Kevin directly your questions about Photoshop. Or you can go to geekspeak.org and click on contact.
So, you know, I'm gonna kind of pull this back a little bit. Kevin, if you would, could you talk about each of the applications that are included in Creative Suite 2 and what people might use them for?
Yeah, tell us who would use them and why they'd buy them.
Yeah, sure. And there's actually two versions of the Creative Suite. There's the Standard Edition and the Premium Edition. So the Standard Edition, you get Adobe Photoshop, which, of course, is for working with photographs and digital images and so forth. You also get Adobe Illustrator, which is for drawing, creating complex illustrations. And then you get Adobe InDesign as well. And InDesign is for doing page layout. So that's if you need to publish a newsletter or a multi-page document, something that has lots of text in it but is also visually rich, that's where you would use InDesign.
Let me keep your thought right there. This program is supported by a grant from Cruise.io, providing internet services including DSL, spam filters, PHP, and MySQL, now with nationwide access. Information about Cruise.io membership is available online at cruise.io.com or by calling 459-6301. Kevin, I'm sorry. Keep going.
No problem. And then if you buy the premium edition of the suite, what we add in addition is Adobe Go Live, which is basically for doing layout for the web. So if you want to design your own homepage or design a website, you would use Go Live. And then we also throw in the premium, the professional edition of Adobe Acrobat. So that gives you the ability not only to create PDF files, but to do, you know, rich commenting features with PDF, to do things like PDF forms, and actually author some fairly complex, interchangeable documents using that. So. And then, of course, both versions include Adobe Bridge for managing your files. They include Version Queue, which is a server that allows you to manage versions of your files. And then in this latest edition, we've also added the ability to hook into Adobe Stock Photos, which allows you to easily find stock photos through a web connection, which you can find directly within the file browser that you can then drop into your composition.
Oh, that's nice. I like that.
Sounds very complete.
We're going to add in from Capitola, Miguel, to the show. So, Miguel, what's your question for Kevin?
I recently judged the county science fair, and one of the winning projects used an algorithm for combining multiple photos, some of which were taken at, a very fast shutter speed, others taken low so that you could get what you guys were describing. You'd capture the details that were widely separated in the dynamic range. And the algorithm that he used was something developed at a university, but it sounds almost the same as what is coming out in the new Creative Suite. Could you describe a little bit more about how much is automated, such that you supply multiple photos? How much do you have to tell it, these are the details that I want drawn out, and these are the details I want drawn out on this other photo?
Yeah, it's actually completely automated. All you need to do is just point Photoshop at the files you want to use, and then it will automatically, it can look at the files and figure out which files have the most detail in which areas, and it automatically combines them. Now, the one issue you have when you're dealing with high dynamic range images is that your monitor is not high dynamic range. Your monitor actually can't display all of the detail that's in the file in exactly the way it's represented. So the only option really given within the dialog is the ability to choose how to display the image on your monitor. So there's a little slider, an exposure slider, that allows you to choose how to expose the image just for display purposes.
So what can you do? Well, first off, Miguel Aznar has called in. He's actually going to be on the show in June. He's the executive director of KnowledgeContext.org. Miguel, thank you very much for the question.
My pleasure.
Cool.
All right, let's get it. So that's a question I have for you about the high dynamic range. We got all this information, 32 bits of color. What do you do with it? Because you can't view it on your screen, as you just said, no matter what kind of screen you have. And can you print it?
So the thing with high dynamic range, and I should emphasize, we're spending a lot of time talking about it. It's not high dynamic range at this point is not. It's a very high end feature. It's not something that the average user is going to use every day.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually added it in part for the motion picture industry. Because Photoshop is, as some people may know, it gets used quite a bit in creating special effects for movies and so forth. And for that usage, they've already begun to use quite a bit of HDR, and they need the support of that within Photoshop. But for the average photographer, primarily how you would use it is, combining exposures in this way. And then once you have them combined, you can choose how to downsample it back down to a 16-bit file before... before you then print it.
So you have that great look of having the person's face and the sun behind them, and they're both low noise, and they both look good.
Right. You basically can compress the range in such a way that you're emphasizing the details that you care about.
Okay, well, then let's talk about some features that are great for everybody.
I actually want to talk about InDesign.
I really want to keep this in the Photoshop. I appreciate it. Well, go ahead, Sean. Go ahead and ask
It's really taking off. People are moving from Quark Express over to InDesign, and printing houses are using it, and now everyday people are picking it up.
I still haven't played with it, but I hear wonderful things about it.
Oh, my God. It's great. I love it. So I want to know if somebody wants to create like a handout, a flyer, a newsletter, are there tools to make it really easy to do that now?
Well, so there are, unfortunately, I'm not an expert in InDesign or an expert in Photoshop. I can tell you that, InDesign does support templates. It does. What is nice about InDesign is that because it has this consistency across the suite, using InDesign feels in many ways not that different from using Photoshop. It has the same interface to it, or a very compatible interface. You can do things such as bring in Photoshop files directly into InDesign. You don't have to convert them to another format. And you can actually turn on and off the individual Photoshop layers within your InDesign composition.
Yeah,
you get
that's
that
powerful.
Sort of seamless control between the two.
And the way you can flow text is really amazing. You can make text boxes. Of course, in the newsletter, you might have text off to the right in a column. You might have it in a box on the next page. You might have it at the bottom of the page or the next. And when you're trying to paste text and fit them into these areas, very tough to do. With InDesign, you can actually link all of those text areas across multiple pages. Copy your text in, and it just flows right through. Very cool feature.
And InDesign also has very sophisticated text styling features. So if you've used, let's say, within Word, how you can make a style for text that does everything bold or what have you. You can just have much more complex styles defined in InDesign that, let's say, have a big capital letter at the beginning, a drop cap at the beginning of a paragraph, and then the first line is in bold, and the rest of the lines aren't.
And it keeps those formatting there, but it doesn't affect the text, right?
Right. And so the impact is that you can really just with a few clicks reformat your entire document just by applying a new style. So it can do much more complex things very easily that way.
All right. Let's shoot back to Photoshop. One of the features that everybody's going to like, the red eye correction. The current Photoshop CS, you can do it, but it's actually a multiple-step process, and now there's a new tool. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah. So this is actually an example where... having two products, both Photoshop and Photoshop Elements, sort of helps us. Because we've always focused in Photoshop more on really power user types of features. And in the process, sometimes we wouldn't pay as much attention to some of the simpler things. We initially developed this Red Eye tool for Photoshop Elements, our entry-level product. And we've made further enhancements to it now and included it in Photoshop. And really, it just makes it much easier, drop-dead simple, to remove eyes. You just take the tool, click anywhere near a red eye, and it automatically finds where the red portion of the eye is and removes it.
Oh, very cool. All right, we're going to go back to another caller. Let's see, Lynn. Lynn, welcome to Geek Speak. Hello, Lynn. Yes, where are you, Lynn?
Where am I?
Yeah.
I'm sitting in front of my drawing table right next to my computer.
Okay, what's your question?
Well, it's kind of, it's I know your guest is more into Photoshop for photography. Mm-hmm. I utilize it excessively for illustration. I use it like a paint box. And I was just wondering, and he may not be able to answer some of my questions because the layers feature, and I'm going, oh, wow, that's been needed for a dog's age. But the thing is, I was wondering, is there a test program that you can, like, download, like, a mini version of it to test the program out beforehand from Adobe, or is there, like, a less expensive version you can buy? And so also, I'm afraid I'm still semi in the dark age. I'm on Photoshop 7, which is about a year and a half ago back, and I'm wondering if I can upgrade.
Okay, Kevin, can you get both those questions?
Yeah. So first of all, we have not actually started shipping the product yet. So we announced the product at the beginning of this week. It's still a few weeks away before we begin shipping it. When we begin shipping it, we will also be posting a free 30-day trial version on our Adobe homepage. So you can go to adobe.com and download a tryout, and you can work with us for 30 days, no problem. If you want, you can automatically just buy that tryout and activate it, or you can just go to the store and buy a box if you prefer to do it that way. Now, in terms of upgrading, we're pretty liberal in our upgrade policies. You don't have to be using the latest version. You can upgrade from, you know, Photoshop 7, Photoshop 5. You could upgrade from Photoshop 1 if you wanted to.
Oh, wow.
And still just pay the $149 upgrade price to get the latest version. We also offer a special upgrade price if you want to move from Photoshop to the entire suite.
Oh, excellent. That's great. Now, it's like, I kind of upgrade, like, every two versions if I can, and it's like, I'm hoping you still do that because it's like, my pocketbook only goes so far, and the new products, you know, it's like if you're buying the thing straight out of the box every time, it's like, oh, my God, that's way too expensive. But with the upgrades really help out my pocketbook.
Lynn, are you an illustrator in Photoshop? Do you like cartooning
kind
of things? There's one other feature that might be kind of cool, and that is smart objects. Kevin, you want to talk about smart objects? I'm going to say goodbye to you, Lynn. Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, well, what smart objects allows you to do is to actually embed one file inside another Photoshop file. And what that allows you to do is such things as you can take Illustrator artwork, take that file, put it inside Photoshop. You can scale it up and down, distort it, and it always maintains the original resolution independent Illustrator art in there so that you always get very crisp lines. You don't get that pixelation or blurriness that you might get. You can also take high resolution Photoshop files and images and embed them inside other files, and that also gives you the ability to distort and manipulate it as much as you want without degrading the image quality.
Oh, I got to look into that.
Now, so you have kind of a tracing tool built in this, so it turns a bitmap into a vector, or is it just that it never goes into bitmap, it always keeps it as vector?
No, so that's actually, within Illustrator, there's a new feature, actually incredibly cool feature, I think, called Live Trace, which allows you to turn bitmap or photographic imagery into vector artwork that's resolution independent.
Oh, my God. I'm really excited now. That sounds great.
It works incredibly well, and it is live, which means you can take a Photoshop file, put it in Illustrator, turn it into an illustration. You can still then go back, modify the original Photoshop file, and it regenerates the illustration as a result.
Okay, that's amazing.
And then there's even a live paint feature, which makes it much easier to colorize your results. Illustrator, actually, I think, has gotten dramatically easier to use in this latest version as a result of some of those features.
You're listening to GeekSpeak. My name's Lyle Troxell. The geeks this morning are Sean Cleveland and Drew Meyer. We also are talking with Kevin Connor, expert on Adobe Photoshop from Adobe, of course. We right now only have a little bit left, well, actually about halfway, on this wonderful $500 donation challenge by Barbara Beck and Tim Bratton. I don't want to take a lot of time out of the show to do this, so I'd like you just to call in. We only need two calls at the $120 level, which is only $10 a month. It's worth it for most people that listen to our station to support buy it at a $10 a month level. You'll barely notice it on your credit card. You can do it, of course, all at one time.
And if you want to do it now, call 476-5900 or 1-800-655-5877 or go to the web and pledge at kusp.org. And I want to thank Melissa from Santa Cruz, who likes Democracy Now! And Car Talk, and from Santa Cruz, who likes so many of the things we have here, including American Life and Geek Speak, and she went a long way towards helping us. That was really cool. helping reach our goal. She wants to write her almanac. Mike from Santa Cruz loves Geek Speak News. He thanks us for the MP3 feed. Is that MP3 feed live now?
It is on KUSP.
Oh, that is great.
In fact, it's so busy right now that people are having trouble getting on. It's wonderful. It's amazing. Yeah.
And Susan from SoCal loves Geek Speak. She's a librarian, so of course she loves the geeks.
We are speaking with Kevin Connor, product management director for the digital imaging products at Adobe. He knows a lot about Photoshop. You can call in to ask him questions or comments, ask him questions about the products. The phone numbers are 476-2800 or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. Of course, you can pledge right now as two. We just have another thank you.
Miles Elam, who now has a job, has pledged. Miles is one of the geeks, and he says he misses us, and we miss you too, Miles.
He's got a job so he can pledge. It's great.
This is great.
So why were we waiting?
We miss him. I liked him when he was unemployed when he was here, though.
Yeah.
While we're waiting for your calls, questions of Kevin Connor about Photoshop, again, 476-2800 or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. Kevin, I'm going to go ahead and ask you about spot healing brush because it's one thing that I seem to do a lot. The photograph's perfectly composed because I'm such a great photographer, and everything's great in the photo except that someone had some peanut butter on their face, and I want to get rid of it. So tell me about spot healing brush.
Yeah, so the healing brush, of course, was the one of the big features of Photoshop 7, which made it much easier to retouch images. It automatically matched the texture of the image as you were trying to clone away imperfection, so it made really seamless results. What we've done with the spot healing brush is we've actually taken that, hard to believe, but we've taken it and made it easier. so that you no longer have to apply to pick a source. When you're using a healing brush, you have to say, I want to copy from this area of the image to this area. With a spot healing brush, you just pick it up and start painting over what you want to fix, and the application figures out the best portion of the image to copy from to fix that.
How does it do that?
Wow.
Kevin, how does it do it?
Well, it's basically looking at some of the surrounding area to see what type of texture is most appropriate for filling in. Now, the truth is that there are times when you still want to use the healing brush. The spot healing brush, as the name implies, is best for fixing small areas.
Okay. So basically a small area compared to the context of where it is. So like a pimple on the skin where there's a lot of skin around it.
Yeah, there are times when you'll find that it works well on larger areas as well. I mean, it's to some extent, you know, what you can always do is just, if you want to make it easy, pick up the spot healing brush, try to fix an area. If you're not quite happy with it, undo it and take the healing brush, and that's only slightly more work.
You've got a whole bunch of things on the new product, new features page of the product on Adobe. You can get there, of course, by going to geekspeak.org. But, Kevin, you got a whole bunch of stuff there. There's even some QuickTime movies of how to use some features. So I'm trying to kind of hit features where you don't go into a lot of detail. So one of those is the advanced noise reduction. I find that when I'm taking photos in really dark situations, I get a lot of noise in the document. I'm wondering, are you actually going to be able to fix that now?
Yeah, well, the issue with removing noise is that if you're not careful when you get rid of the noise, you're actually getting rid of the detail.
Of course.
And you just blur out your image. So what the noise reduction gives you is a bit more control to sort of subtly remove the noise without making the image look too blurry and losing detail. We also have the opposite side of that. We have a new sharpening tool as well called Smart Sharpen, which allows you to do a much better job of sharpening the image without creating the sort of unsightly halos you might get around the edges using a traditional tool like Unsharp Mask.
Great. We're going to take a break to ask you right now to call in. You see the wonderful content we have. You see that Geek Speaks here every week. We volunteer our time. We get experts on like Kevin Connor talk about Photoshop. We're going to have an expert on about Firefox, the browser, in a couple weeks. We have people rolling in, talking to you, talking to us about technology, keeping you abreast to the techno babble you hear every day. Donate now.
So broadcasting the news is the most expensive programming that there is. And to do it right requires a commitment, and KUSP works really hard to cover news locally, regionally, nationally, and also internationally. When you consider that it's a small local radio station, that's no small commitment. It's a large commitment, I should say. So pay for your fair share, help us out, keep this stuff on the air coming in your radio.
We've got a pledge from Shai. Actually, this is an anonymous pledge from Santa Cruz. They said, we love the station. Our regular listening is Morning Edition and Car Talk, but they pledge now while they were thinking of it. And right. Please do the same.
It's a great thing. You're not going to understand what we're talking about. Half of what we say is technobabble. So you're going to get it in your head. It's going to help you in the long run because you'll understand how the world is working from the technical side. But because it doesn't matter that you can really follow what we're saying, it's the perfect time to call in during GeekSpeak. It's the one time where during the entire broadcast, the content might confuse you anyway without if you were paying 100%, right? So since you might get lost while we're talking right now anyway, you might as well call in 476-5900 or 1-800-655-5877. I want to talk about
or pledge securely on the web at kusp.org.
Definitely the geeky way. The wonderful thing about that is that you're just typing, so it's not as much reading things over the phone, repeating numbers and stuff. It's very easy to do on the online. It's secure. It's a great way to donate, and you can it's going through your credit card. You basically do it once. There's nothing else going on. It's it. You're done. And you go up there and you say give them $10 a month, or give them $10 only. That's how much I can afford right now. What we need right now is we need $50. We need $50 from you right now to meet this Barbara Beck and Tim Bratton pledge, a $500 challenge. If you donate $50 right now, it gets doubled. The station actually receives $100. It's a great way to do it. There's only 4 minutes left for you to do that, so I suggest you do it now. 476-5900 or 1-800-655-5877. Kevin Connor, from Director of Product Management from Adobe, focusing on the digital imaging products. Kevin, I appreciate you being on the show, especially during a pledge drive where half of our time is talking about how important the station is in general. I appreciate you sitting on the phone with us and able to stay with us for this whole 45 minutes. I know you're a very busy person. So thank you.
Oh, no problem. Yeah. My pleasure.
Let's talk about one more feature about Photoshop. I think that's what we're going to have time for. We've got a few more minutes left in the show. I'll let you pick it if you like. I got an idea, but what do you think we haven't touched that you think is really important about this new product?
Well, certainly the feature that has been the coolest thing for a lot of people to see is Vanishing Point. This is sort of, I think every time in Photoshop, we have to do at least one thing that makes people's jaws drop a bit when they see it.
Right, so the application's a must-have kind of thing, right?
Yeah, and that would definitely be the Vanishing Point feature this time. What it actually allows you to do is you can take any image, particularly things that have architecture or lots of flat surfaces where the perspective is very obvious, open it up in the Vanishing Point filter, indicate where the perspective points are, so if let's say the side of a building going up into perspective, and you just show the border of that, and then you can do all of your editing in perspective. You can clone things around the sides of the building, you can paint in perspective, you can actually make your selections in perspective and move them around. So it allows you to do things that were it almost seems like impossible, like a pseudo 3D right within a flat photograph.
That is
wild. Yeah, and that's what it basically is. You create kind of a 3D skeleton inside your product. You got a whole bunch of things that you can manage with it. And then what it does is it looks at the image and how it looks kind of 3D, and then able to enhance in that structure. It's kind of it's hard to explain, really. There's a great little video online about it.
Yeah, it is something you sort of have to see to understand. Yeah. But when you see it, it's incredibly intuitive. It's not really a difficult thing to use.
Another 3D kind of aspect, if you will, is this new ability to manipulate an image in a different way. Traditionally, you'd be able to distort images and like scale them and rotate them, and distorting kind of like you pull only one corner, you can kind of change the shape of something. But now you got this whole image warp thing, which is really different. Can you talk about that briefly?
Yeah. So image warp, we always had the ability, or at least for certain versions, we've had the liquify command that allows you with a brush to sort of push and pull the image around. But what people asked for some time was a slightly different kind of warping called mesh warping, where you actually have a grid over the image and you can pick up the points and pull them around. And that's what the new image warp function allows you to do. And so you can do things like actually take a corner of the image and pull it back and look at the other side. Or you can do more simple types of distortions, like let's say you wanted to take an image and wrap it around a soda can. You can do that fairly easily.
So, yeah. Kevin, if I'm interested in learning how to use these new features, is there a place I can go to take a course or get some intuitive training from Adobe directly?
Yeah, well, one of the great things about Photoshop is that there's so many people using it and there's so many people training on it as well. So you certainly can go to the Adobe website, and we post tutorials up there. We have videos up there that you can look at, but there's many other resources as well. There's actually an organization called NAPP, National Association of Photoshop Professionals. They have a magazine that they publish called Photoshop User. They actually do a conference twice a year called Photoshop World. It's just filled with these intensive tutorials.
Kevin,
and of course, there's tons of books out there.
Kevin Connor is the Director of Product Management, Adobe's Professional Digital Imaging Products. He's been with Adobe for 10 years. He's been with the Photoshop team for 9 of those years. He's the premier expert on Photoshop. Kevin, I thank you very much for being on GeekSpeak.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This program is supported by a grant from Santa Cruz Electronics, offering an extensive selection of computer and electronic parts, as well as support services. Santa Cruz Electronics is open daily at 2808 Soquel Avenue and online at santacruzelectronics.com. We just had Adobe on, the great new product. You can learn a little bit more about the show. We archive the shows up on geekspeak.org. All the geeks are, of course, donating their time to be on the show. The geeks this morning, Sean Cleveland and Drew Meyer. Our producer is Maggie Cleveland. And thank you very much, geeks, for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Lob.
We're $50 away from that, meeting our pledge goal this hour.
To those of you that called in with questions and comments and that donated, we really appreciate it. You've got a minute left, basically, to call in to match that donation, 476-5900 or 1-800-655-5877. And I want to make a special thank to Barbara Beck and Tim Bratton for their contribution. Next week, we'll be back at 10 o'clock. Coming up next is Open Road with Matt Pierce. And at 1 p.m., Two Steps in the Blues with Charlie Lang. We made it. Thank you very much for helping us with Geek Speak Pledge. This is Lyle Troxell.
Hooray!
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The elaborate funeral of Pope John Paul II was watched by millions of people around the world, including many in Rome, who could not squeeze into